Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. Right now, I have quite a prolific author with me whose writing focuses on multicultural and interracial contemporary romance novels. She is Rhianna Mallory. Rhianna firmly believes that love in all its forms should be celebrated, and her stories reflect that belief. She hopes to weave stories that pull the reader into her world and helps them to share in her universe, even if only for a short time. An avid reader since the age of 14, she decided to pursue her passion in 2009 and released her first novella, To Love a Marine. Since then, she has released more than 20 books of varying lengths, to include Weekend Fling, Escape to Heaven, Finding Faith, Connell, and Unwrapping a Marriage. When she is not writing, you can find her most often enjoying a good book, as she is, first and foremost, a romance reader. Rhianna currently resides in Montclair, Virginia, with her husband and her two sons, who keep her busy, laughing, having fun, and making sure she doesn't take herself too seriously. And I am ready to have fun right now, so welcome to the show, Rhianna.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you here. Now, there is something we didn't mention in the introduction, and that is you are a former Marine. Maybe tell us briefly about that experience and how that might color your writing.
Absolutely. So I was in the Marines for 8 years. I joined just after high school. I decided that I wanted to do something different with my life, and it wasn't something that many women did. It's a very small military force, and so I wanted to challenge myself. So what you'll find in a lot of my books is I have a lot of military heroes. Marines, of course, are my favorite. I'm a little bit biased towards them, but you'll find that all of my men are very strong. And many of them do have a military background or have someone in their family or in their friendship circle who is military or served previously. Mm-hmm. A lot of my women are also in the military. You don't see that very often where you have the heroine who is a member of the military as well, but I do try and weave that into my stories because it's a reflection of me and my life and who I was. So you'll see that throughout some of the themes that I write about.
And they always say, write what you know about. So that only makes
sense.
Yeah, why research something else if you know you have this kind of knowledge going on? And you've written so many books. We said 20 books already?
I have. I've written about 20 books. I actually have 3 in the works right now. But I've written 20 books over the time, and it's really things that have grabbed me in the moment. I could be listening to a song or watching a TV on a show on the television, and an idea will pop in my head. So I love to write. It's a passion of mine, and so as a story comes to me, I have to get on my laptop and start outlining what the story is going to be like. So I just let the stories come, and as they flow, it turns out that I've had a lot of stories in my head that have needed to be told.
Well, I'm glad that you've had this opportunity to get it out of you. It's a shame to have that kind of thought and talent and let it sit there. So you need to be proud of yourself for all the writing that you're doing. Now, who is your main audience? Who are your main readers?
My main readers are women of all ages, but they are primarily African-American or of African-American descent. I do have a good, strong core readership of women who are non-African-American, married and single. I don't have many men who read my books, although I have had a few who purchased my books and have written to me and said they really enjoyed my story. But I really try and cater my books towards women of all ages who simply can relate to the story of a woman going through life's events, whatever those may be. And it does tend to connect with the reader, and they see themselves in the characters that I write, and so that helps me reach out and really engage with a lot of my readers, and they connect with me on that.
Right, right. Now, what attracts you to write about multiracial romance?
Interestingly enough, I get that question a lot.
I'm sure.
So
yeah.
I am in an interracial marriage. My husband is Italian. And as a result, there weren't many books that reflected my life. day, there weren't many books that had a black female as a heroine who was very strong, educated, friendly, who simply lived life. Even less so were books featuring African-American women in relationships with men of all races and nationalities. And so I did discover late in 2007, 2008, that there was a genre of multicultural and interracial books that, honestly, I had no idea existed. Prior to that, my books were mainstream romances that everyone read until I found that one book that opened my eyes. And once I did that, I realized, wow, there is an entire world that has now opened up to me where the heroines look like me. Mm-hmm. They live the life that I live. And isn't that something?
Yes.
And so I really started to focus on that, to say, how many other books are there? How many other authors write about women that I can relate to? And so that's where my interest came from. It's really, I fell upon a book. And realized that there was a much larger literary world out there. And then in 2009, it was that moment of truth for me where I took that leap of faith and said, I think it's time.
Yeah.
I think it's time for me to write a story that I would want to read. And that's where To Love a Marine came from.
Oh, my gosh. And to say, let's talk about your first book, To Love a Marine. You kind of answered the question about what caused you to write it. It was just that missing piece that was then in your brain and thought, hey, here's an audience.
That's exactly right. And To Love a Marine was, both the hero and the heroine are Marines in the military. And they were stationed at the headquarters of the Marine Corps, where I was stationed, in Arlington, Virginia. And it was loosely, very loosely based on events that I had seen, experienced. I wrote about the thing that I knew, but I had tried to weave a story that could pull the reader in to see it through my eyes. And it was a short story. It's a novella length. But even to this day, all of these years later, I still have people write to me and say, I love that book. It was my favorite book. I found you through that book all of those years ago, and I continue to read you today.
Wow, how exciting that must have been. Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
I'm feeling it right now as we're talking. I could just imagine what it was like to get that out there. And so then 20 books later, is there a common theme or message among all of your books? Is there a thread that kind of ties them together?
I think so. I think I try and write books that highlight that none of us are perfect. We all have flaws. But at the end of the day, we're just people. And whether you're the hero who has some flaws that he's working through, or the heroine who maybe has some body image issues, or just recently gone through a divorce, or a widowed mother raising her son, we all have to work towards something. We are all trying to better ourselves. And when we find that person that helps to complete us, they may not be perfect, and we don't want them to be, but they're perfect for us.
Mm.
And so all of my stories have that woven in. It's real issues. They're not perfect people.
Right.
I have stories that discuss domestic abuse situations. And how does a woman move beyond that, where it's a very difficult time in her life, but can she find her perfect person for her down the road?
Mm-hmm.
And so I try and weave that into all of my stories to say, this is real life, and we all go through challenges and ups and downs. We can laugh, we can have fun while we're doing it, and we may have some steamy scenes in there too, but we're just people trying to find our happily ever after with the best person we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, out of all of these books that you've written, do you have a favorite that you'd like to talk about?
Ooh, that's a hard choice.
See, I got you.
But I do. So I will talk about Finding Faith. So Finding Faith was published in 2015. And that story, I have many heart stories, let me interject there, but that story was such a release for me. The heroine, Faith, so the title, of course, is a play on her name, but the heroine was a professional woman, very educated, but she had a friend who wasn't very nice to her. And sometimes women go through things where your best friend or the people whom you think are your friends aren't really your friends. And she found that out the hard way. And the hero, Cooper, was a widower raising his little girl, Madison. And he had not been able to let go of his wife, of his late wife. And he was truly living in the past a little bit and unable to truly move forward. So at the moment that they meet, Cooper has made a decision to move out of the home he had shared with his late wife into a new home that he and Madison can start over. And he and Faith are neighbors. And their friendship builds and grows from that moment. They are friends before they become lovers, before they are in a relationship. And you can see the build, you can see the ebb and flow, you can see how her feelings grow for him, and honestly, he's a little clueless. So, but you can see the ebb and flow of their story and how Madison becomes to, or comes to love Faith so much because she is this grounding force for her. And the laughter and the fun that Faith brings into their life until you have this moment. There's always a catalyst moment where Cooper, in his cluelessness, goes out on a date. And there are these moments within that time frame where you feel for Faith. You know that her heart is absolutely breaking. And Cooper just doesn't see it. Mm. So I've had many readers come to me and say, I am so mad at Cooper, and I don't know why he would have done that, and I can't believe he would have done that to Faith. But you needed to see that catalyst moment, that breakdown, where honestly he had to come to the realization that he was about to lose the one person whom he had fallen in love with and didn't even realize it. Mm. And so the story is truly about not expecting things to happen, but when they do, how do you handle it? How do you move beyond? How do you move forward when you've gone through something so devastating as losing your spouse?
As you're saying this to me, I'm getting visuals as if I was watching a television show. I'm thinking this would be a great basis for a TV show. Mm-hmm. And I used to say on your website, my heroines will be the kind of women that you want to hang out with. They're the women next door, down the street, and around the corner. They are the ladies you would want to spend time with on a Saturday night drinking a martini. Let's talk about that for a bit.
Sure. So my women, I try and make them just like you and I and the best friend that you grew up with. They're strong, but they have their weaknesses. They are smart, savvy women, but they have their moments where sometimes they don't do what's in their own best interest. They'll support you. They are your best friend, and they will support you and have your back, and they will sit there with you at 3 a.m. in the morning when your heart is broken and you just want to rail at the moon and scream at the universe, at the unfairness of it all. The type of women I write about are those types of friends. They are the ones that you can read the story and you say, you know what, I get Faith. I understand what she's going through. Or Kara from Weekend Fling, her and her girlfriends in the book, they were hanging out at a country bar, and they wanted to go out one night and just have fun. And those you want those kind of friends that you can laugh and joke with and cry with and mm-hmm. and call in the middle of the night when things are going wrong. but they all support each other. And so I try and focus my heroes on, or heroines, on the type of women that I would want to connect with.
Right.
I don't want them too far outside of the realm where the reader reading the story can't connect with them on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try and always make sure that that component of their personality is there. If I would not want to be their friend and hang out with them and go out for a night of drinking martinis and laughing it up for a couple hours, would I really want them as my heroine?
Mm-hmm. I like that answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a common trait among the females that show up in your book. What about the male characters? Is there a common trait among them?
Oh, some of them, I tell you. Sometimes they're not so they're not so in tune with what they need. And so sometimes they have to be led. But I will say that all of them have very strong personalities as far as how they feel about the women that they love. They are very passionate. They take care of them. They will protect them. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are jerks or that they're someone that you don't really like. But, and some of them can be very laid back, very relaxed. But when the need comes or when the time comes for them to really express their passion for the woman that they've fallen in love with or the heroine, or whether or not there comes a time where they have to stand up and protect their family, or if they're military, of course, sometimes they have to do things that they don't necessarily want to do, where they have to go out and protect other people or other in other parts of the world. So there's always this layer to their personality. I've only written maybe one or two kind of jerks, but even those two, they're redeemable. They're not completely off the rail. But they all have this core component of their personality where you know they are protectors,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them. They will protect the women and children. That is their primary focus, protecting mm-hmm. the women and the children. And even though you may not see that protection component at the beginning of the book, as you get to know them and get to know their story and see their personality, you understand that's a core component in every single hero that I write.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about your characters, do you listen to or talk to your characters, or are you in control of them?
They are so in control. Whenever I try and take back control, they just stop talking.
Oh.
And so they just... So when I write, oftentimes I hear them... and I promise I'm not crazy, but I hear them in my head telling me how their story should be written.
Okay.
And I hear their voice, and I free flow type. I'm a pantser. Mm-hmm. And so as I can sit in front of my computer and I can just start typing, and the story unfolds the way they want it to unfold. And if I don't agree with it, I say, you know what, I don't really like this. I'm not really a fan of this storyline or where the, you know, what the hero or heroine is doing. And if I try and veer it into another direction, the voices will absolutely stop until I get back on track.
Interesting. So they throw a little writer's block at you, right?
They do. They do. They make it known that they are not happy with what I'm doing with their story. And I quickly have learned that if that happens, that means I'm doing something that the characters don't really like. And I get back to where I was before.
Very, very fascinating. I'm enjoying this conversation. So since we're talking about your writing process, let's go there. Where do you write? Is it always the same place, or can you write anywhere?
I can write almost anywhere, but I do prefer, I have an office at my home. So it's set up for me where I have my office, and I'll usually go up there. It's quiet. I listen to music when I write.
Mm.
It's very, usually either romance, romantic music, or I listen to classical, or just whatever I'm in the story calls for, whatever I'm in the mood for. I'll listen to music in my office, And I'll have typically a glass of wine. So I, as you see from my logo is a bottle of wine pouring into a glass and a tiara. So there are times where I will wear my tiara with my glass of wine in my office while I'm writing my story. And it is the funniest thing, and I tell people that, and this it became my my motto, that if Rihanna is writing, then she makes sure she has a glass of wine in her hand and that she's wearing her tiara.
Oh.
Talk
about it.
I love it.
Talk about interesting writing quirks. I haven't heard that the tiara, although, you know, there was a time when I had an employee benefits company way back when, people would always interrupt me when I was in my office. So I had this hat and I would put that on whenever I didn't want to be interrupted. So maybe it's the same kind of thing.
Same concept. I like it.
Oh, now I'm going to picture you with your wine and tiara. Oh my gosh. So when you're writing a book, about how long does it take for you to complete a book?
It depends on the length. Mm-hmm. So what I have found is that if I focus, I can write a full-length novel in give or take around 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So it depends. And if I just want to do a little short story, sometimes you just have an idea, you want to get it out into a nice little short. Of course, it takes less time. So, but I think because I free flow write, and I thankfully I type very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I can typically write a good 8,000 words in a day in one sitting.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's a lot of wine, Rihanna.
It's a lot. My husband is very good. He keeps me, keeps it coming.
Oh my gosh, this is great. Well, now, have you learned anything about yourself as you write your books?
Yes, I've learned that I am a romantic at heart. And sometimes you think you are, a type of person. But as I write these stories, I realize I need my characters to have that happily ever after. I need them to have those moments of aha, because for me, those are the things that twist my heart when I'm reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing those catalyst moments where everything changes in the blink of an eye. For me, I love that. I love that happily ever after. I love that moment where both characters, not just the hero or the heroine, but both characters have that moment where they say, I don't know what I was doing before, but now that this moment is here, nothing else matters except you.
Mm.
I love that. So I didn't realize I was that much of a romantic until I started writing the books. And I realized I couldn't write a book that veered off track from that. I didn't want to.
Right.
And so that was a very interesting moment for me. I also found that I like stories of redemption.
Mm.
I like it when people, again, people aren't perfect. They go through things. They go through so many things every day. But I love the stories of redemption, a woman getting her strength, a man realizing that he can move forward in his life with, and stay true to the memory of his late wife, but move forward with the woman who now holds his heart. It's okay to do that. Best friends falling in love and realizing that the person that they loved was in front of them this entire time. Those are the types of things that I really, those redemption stories, I love those. And I don't know if that's, I think a lot of people do. You
yes.
like the stories of redemption,
yes.
of getting over a hump, of overcoming a challenge, of finding your true self. That's what I found out about me as I started writing, is that those are the things that I connect with the most. And I think it's just something inherent in me, where I love watching those things unfold.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, I think many and most people probably share the same feelings and thoughts. So you're almost offering a little bit of a self-help book. As they're reading your books, they're coming away with, oh, wow, yeah, this hits me the same way too. So
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, your covers, I found them to be provocative, but in a very tasteful way. So how do you decide on the artwork?
It's what calls to me. I actually review and approve every cover that is now that is published with my books. I want to capture the reader's attention to let them know that yes, this is a love story. It's filled with romance and steamy situations, but it's also for just the reader who wants to understand the dynamic of how this hero and heroine come together. I want my covers to call out to the person to say, wow, what is that about? And so they know that I don't necessarily write sweet romance, but I write stories that have a flavor of sensuality to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I try and make sure that my covers reflect that as well, but I could put my covers pretty much anywhere and everyone can see them without any concern.
Exactly. And that's why I said I found them to be provocative. I got mm-hmm. the point, but I found them to be very tasteful as well. And that's an interesting kind of a juxtaposition that you've managed to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love my covers. I think they're great. That's exactly. And you picked up on exactly what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Good. See, you did a great job with it. You did it. Let's talk a little bit about marketing and promotion. Do you have any favorite ways to get the word out about your books? I mean, you're doing all of this work and you're writing so many books. How do you get this out to people so that you can find and attract new readers?
Oh, I do so many different things. I try and be creative and not just stick with one way. I do social media marketing, of course, on all of the social media sites, Twitter, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I also work with blogs, bloggers who can share my books and information with their readers. I try and also work with some of the promotions companies who will help me to reach a broader audience. So I don't do just one thing. I try and shake things up a bit every other month just to see, you know, what works, what sticks. Because I want to make sure that I'm not staying in my niche area within my narrow focus. Mm-hmm. I think the broader you can get, the broader reach you can have to readers, the better. I go to conferences throughout the year, conferences that have a diverse group of attendees so that they can get to know me as a person and then hear about my book and maybe they'll tell a friend. Mm-hmm. So I try and do various things, some grassroots efforts and some others where I do work with some companies who really focus on that promotions and marketing to help me brand my name out to others.
Right. Yes, there's so many ways to market and promote, and it's very time consuming. It's almost hard to be a writer and a promoter at the same time.
Exactly. And so I try and rely on is, you know, the people who do it better than I could mm-hmm, ever mm-hmm. do it. And so I really try and have a group of complimentary people who are helping me to understand where do I need to go and can they do it on my behalf and do that outreach and help me. So, you know, what do they say for those who can't do teach, those who really can't do consult about it.
Exactly.
So, I just tell them this is what I'm looking for and then the people who can really make it happen, they help me do that.
Very smart. Very smart. Mm-hmm. You obviously have a lot of savvy here. So as we begin to wrap up, is there any advice that you would give to fellow authors that they could try immediately?
I would say if they're in the midst of writing a book, write what they love, write what they know, and don't worry about how it's going to be received that first time. Get the idea out of your head and onto paper. And that was what you have to do to really try and sometimes those stories are clamoring at your brain and you just have to get it out on paper. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about all the rest. Just get it out. And if you enjoy it, make it your story. Mm-hmm. And from there on, everything else will fall into place.
I like that. Basically write for yourself. And then when it's done, you can determine where you're going to take it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I get that. So what's next for you?
Well, what's next is I do have three stories that are in the works right now. It's actually a series, a working man series, where it's going to be the everyday hero. One is a cop, one is a mechanic, one is a handyman. And I'm toying with the idea of a fourth book, but it's going to be the everyday guy who's also a hero. It's the men we marry and see and date on an everyday basis. And I'm going to make them the focus of my next story. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. I'm very excited about those books.
You're taking it a little bit of in a different direction.
I am. And I'm going to see how that, but it feels good. It feels right. So, it's going to be labeled The Four Kings.
Ooh.
If I do the fourth, it'll be The Four Kings. Mm-hmm. And they'll all, but it's a little bit of a different take on it.
Oh, well, we're going to have to stay tuned for that, right?
Yes. Definitely coming out in the spring of 2017.
All right. We're going to have to talk again about that. Well, now, is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about today?
No, I think I think we covered a lot of ground. I really enjoyed spending time with you today and just talking about my books and the process and, you know, how this all came to be. So I think we had a really good conversation.
Yeah, thanks to you. Thanks to you. You gave a lot of interesting and helpful advice. So to wrap up, where can folks go to learn more about you and to purchase your books?
Well, all of my books are currently on Amazon, so they can definitely find me there. I'm also on all romance ebooks, Barnes & Noble, and Smashwords and iTunes as well. So I'm pretty much everywhere as far as purchasing the books. As far as social media, they can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. I try and stay connected to all of my readers, so I'm very active.
What a pleasure to have you here today. I was so excited to have this opportunity, and you surely did not disappoint. What a pleasure. I just like you so much just after this 30-minute conversation. So we'll have to do this again sometime.
Thank you. Yes, I would love to.